going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We have a Know Your Foe episode. It's the offseason. How could we have a Know Your Foe episode? Well, we're here to talk about the Steelers draft today. Joining us to do that is our friend Alex Kozora. Alex, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. Doing well. Appreciate having you back on.
Always a pleasure to talk Steelers with you. You're one of the go-to guys for the Steelers we have, and I really appreciate you. Always, at least once a season, you're with us to talk Steelers football. But interesting draft for the Steelers. A lot of people thought they might be in the Shadura sweepstakes. They distinctly put themselves out, four times before Shadura was drafted, or maybe three times before Shadura was drafted.
Yeah, that was the big debate. Would this be the year of quarterback? And obviously it wasn't. I think Pittsburgh's had a very intentional draft plan about fortifying the trenches defensively, the front seven, improving the run defense after you guys ran for 299 and ran us out of the playoffs. That's a pretty good perspective to get younger, get stronger, more physical up front. And this year's quarterback class, clearly not a strong one. It wasn't just Pittsburgh passing on Shadur. It was the entire NFL essentially passing on him, far below where anyone thought he would go. So it sounds like 2026, the likely year Pittsburgh makes that aggressive move for the quarterback. This year was focusing on D-line, the front seven.
Okay. All right. Well, kind of a polarizing player in some ways, another one a lot of people love. It's just how much did you love this guy relative to you know what he did in college. But Derek Harmon, the number one pick at number 21, where a lot of people thought Shadur might have gone. But Derek Harmon, a very highly thought of prospect.
And a very Pittsburgh Steelers prospect. It is hard to find those DNs that fit Pittsburgh system that are 6'5", 300 pounds with 33-plus inch arms, like the Cam Haywards, like the Stephon Tuitts. You just don't see many of those guys in a college world where guys are getting smaller and quicker and faster, and they don't two-gap, and Harmon can do that. So a guy on the radar, they showed interest in many of the top defensive linemen. He's a guy that is strong, well-rounded, can be mentored by Cam Hayward. Had that big breakout year in 2024 after transferring from Michigan State, where he didn't do a whole lot those couple of years there. And then really that light came on for him. So I know the production is just 1 year, but he's 21. I think Pittsburgh thinks his best football is ahead of him. And I thought the value was good. There were medical concerns to report about the shoulder, maybe some back issues, but Pittsburgh has been pretty lenient and comfortable taking guys who have some quote unquote medical concerns, whether that's Peyton Wilson last year, Donnell Washington, Troy Fautanu also had some latent long-term medical concerns reported about them. Pittsburgh said they're comfortable with all those guys. Time will tell, but Harmon is definitely a Steelers type of pick.
All right. So he goes in there. Hayward would really be the 1/3 tech on the other side. And you call him a DN, and this is why I'm kind of struggling with that terminology, but DTDN. Or do you really say DN? I think a 4-3 has DNs that are play the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I just say then Pittsburgh's base 3-4, the Rokie front, which I know is only used about a quarter of the time. But in their base 3-4, he'll play 4-tech. And then when they're in their 2-4-5 nickel or 4-2-5, because their edge guys play up on the line, then he'll rotate in with Hayward and Benton as that 1-tech, 3-tech, probably more 3-tech than 1, but they'll rotate in.
Now, he's a guy who I would think would be, I don't know if a situational pass rusher would be the case, but I would think he'd be used more for what he can do as a pass rusher than what he can do as a run defender. Now, he wasn't terrible if you look at PFF run defense grades. There's probably a lot of space denial involved. Had an awful season as a tackler this last year, and didn't have a good stops to miss tackle ratio either.
And that's one thing about his production. The numbers itself, they don't pop out. I think, what was it, 9 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks or so. But there were so many plays left on the field. There were so many missed tackles, so many missed sacks. And so if he can get those things cleaned up, and they do need to be cleaned up, because Benton has the same issue. He's missed a lot of plays out there on the field as well. Then that production should really increase. I mean, I think he'll be used all situations. Like I said, base end, rotate in at nickel. Cam Hayward's still playing incredibly well, defying Father Time. I would call his 2024 season historic based on just the age metrics of being 25 or 35 and recording nearly 10 sacks. I think he has the second most sacks of any defensive lineman, interior guy, age 35 or older in NFL history. Only
whoever had more, Reggie White or somebody? Or
The late Steve McMichael had, I think, sack more back when. Yeah, so, but Pittsburgh was focusing on limiting Hayward's snap count. They've said that for years. We're going to limit a snap count. And then it's week one. And it's like, well, Hayward's the best guy, so we're just going to ride until the wheels fall off. And Hayward played the fewest number of snaps and the fewest percentage of snaps he's played in a non-injured season since his second year when he was a backup. And so you got to get that third guy in, got to find the long-term heir, and Harmon can accomplish all those things.
Now, one of the things that I've always thought about the Pittsburgh interior guys, going back to, you know, Aaron Smith and Kiesel and others in the early 2000s, is that they would really overwork those guys remarkably. And Hayward, I think, has been the same way. Tuitt was that way. Do you think a pick like Harmon is a guy who will play a lower snap percentage than some of those other guys have?
Well, I mean, remember, Hayward did not play his first 3 years, essentially. He was a true backup behind Kiesel and behind Aaron Smith. And Harmon's going to play a lot more than Hayward did. But there's something poetic about when they took Kim Hayward in 2011, there was kind of this two-year plan of Hayward's going to sit for 2 years, and then the baton will be passed to him from Kiesel and Smith. And Hayward has about 2 years left. He said he's going to play through his current contract, which runs through the end of the 2026 season, so 2 years from now. So that's kind of when the baton will get passed off to Harmon. But Harmon's going to play more. I mean, I don't have an exact, you know, a calculus on what his snap percentage will be, but I mean, he's going to rotate in a healthy number of sub-package snaps and obviously play that base DN spot about a quarter of the time. So, I mean, he'll have probably, you know, assuming health in front of him is good, probably 500 snaps defensively this year.
Okay. So pretty close to 50% of snaps, if that sounds right. That's good. Well, that's a lot for a rookie, and Harmon is a guy that I'm not sure. I'll be interested to see how he plays with that sort of rest. Okay, let's move on to the number two pick. They did not have a pick in the second round. Their second pick was in the third round, and that was Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa.
And I thought this was really good value. I think Pittsburgh, they were going to draft a running back. They brought in 9 for pre-draft visits, the most of any position group. So it was just a question of who and when. And Johnson, to me, was viewed as somebody who may go early on day two, but only 6 running backs went through the first 2 days of the draft, which surprised me because I thought there'd be more given how much and how highly touted the running back class was overall, one of the stronger classes in recent years. So Johnson, just a good value as an early down runner. To me, can he blends new school and old school principles. Pittsburgh still loves their backs big, the Najee Harris's, the Le'Veon Bell's, the James Connors, the Benny Snell's, Rashard Mendenhall. They love these 220-pound workhorses because back when Pittsburgh had just a lead guy, they had to have the size to shoulder that load. Now it's a committee approach. Now they're not going to require any guy to be the guy, but they still like the size. But they also wanted more explosiveness, more dynamic ability, and Johnson brings that more than, say, a Najee Harris. Our study for Steelers Depot of the top 30 draft-eligible running backs in 2025, Johnson tied for the third-best rate and runs a 20-plus yards. He tied Trevion Henderson, who to me was the biggest home run hitting running back of the entire draft. I think he was only behind R.J. Harvey, who went in front, and then Rashard Smith from SMU. And so Johnson really, to me, he's kind of a build-up runner a little bit. He needs that runway to kind of get going, but there are a ton of 20-plus yard runs on tape. So you have the old-school size, the new-school explosiveness. Going to have to work on pass protection, not a big asset as a receiver, but an early down runner, a good fit for Arthur Smith's outside zone scheme. It's an easy projection. He played in a pro-style offense, a lot of tight ends, some fullbacks involved, so similar system. Another one of those clean projections. And like Harmon, 21 years old, breakout year. I think Pittsburgh also believes his best football is ahead of Johnson as well.
So a lot of missed tackles forced by Johnson. He's not at the top of the class or anything, but he delivers on what you would expect for a 225-pound back at about a 25-26% missed tackle forced rate. That's missed tackles forced divided by carries.
Gotcha. Yeah, to me, he's a little more finessed than you would expect. There's some break tackle ability. I think in the open field, his stiff arm is really effective, but I don't know if he was that true bruiser or punisher, but Pittsburgh wasn't looking for that. They wanted somebody who could offer some more big plays. I think he's got patience. He's got good feet. He's got decent vision overall. So there's a good package there that makes him an effective runner.
Early down back, you did mention the pass blocking earlier, but do you think he'll be more of an early down every other series? You still get a lot of the others. What will it be?
Yeah, Arthur Smith loves his rotations. He'll take any running back he can find and get him work. But I think Johnson's going to have an early down role. I don't think they'll put a lot of pass protection stuff on him. Jalen Warren's, to me, is a solid pass protecting back. Kenneth Gainwell, better than you would expect as pass protector. He did a lot of third down work last year in Philadelphia, subbing in for Saquon Barkley. Gainwell's a guy that's a good receiver, can be split out, versatile. So I think they'll kind of keep it simple for Johnson at the start. Jalen Warren probably will still get starter designation on the depth chart. They'll split time and kind of see how it goes from there. So probably a good 50-50 early down split, and then Warren, Gainwell handling third down duties.
Okay. All right. Well, terrific. Let's move on to the number four pick in the fourth round of the third pick of the draft was Jack Sawyer, the edge from Ohio State.
Just a classic Steelers pick. And this is kind of the theme of the draft, where some of these picks might not be incredibly high ceilings, but high floor guys that are clean projections coming from Ohio State, that system, that scheme that the Buckeyes ran, pretty similar to what Pittsburgh will ask from him. This is a guy that just produced. I mean, his stat sheet is just completely full. Whether you talk about tackles for loss, you talk about the sacks, interceptions, he has a pick, 7 pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles, just a guy that seemed to make the big play when Ohio State needed the big play. I don't see the upside being terribly high. I think he's tight around the edges, not a great athlete overall, didn't test, probably because he didn't think he would test all that well overall, but he's solid against the run. There's power in his punch. He's a no-nonsense, smart pass rusher. I think a good number 3 eventually behind TJ Watt. Alex Highsmith still have Nick Herbig there as well. So just the Steelers type of backer that probably won't have that super, super high ceiling, but I think the floor as far as draft projections go is pretty high as well.
I liked him a lot. I had him as a third round projection potentially for the Ravens. I thought that, the Ravens obviously need edges, but he would have been a guy that I would have been thrilled with as the second edge they got. I wouldn't have wanted him to be the top. It's just because of the situation the Ravens are in, not because I think less of him, but the Ravens really needed an elite pass rusher to make up for the fact that they have both of their big guys leaving after 25.
Yeah. And Sawyer, like you said, not going to be that elite pass rusher, but I think can be a really good backup. And some people said, why draft edge? You have a really good top 3, which Pittsburgh does, and Watt and Highsmith and Herbig, but this is the engine of Pittsburgh's defense. They need to be solid top to bottom, and they've had injury issues. Watt has had injury problems. He's not always been healthy. Last year, Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig battled stuff early in the season. They had to get guys off of other practice squads. You better be strong top to bottom at your most important position. That's outside linebacker for Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And so that's why you go out there and add a quality number 4. And I think Omar Khan has done a good job of prioritizing having really good edge depth, whether that's trading for Preston Smith last year, drafting Nick Herbig in the 4th round a couple years ago, now Sawyer in the 4th round this year. There is certainly a flair and a focus from Khan, and also Andy Weidel, the assistant GM, who just came over from Philadelphia. What did they do? They built the trenches. They built O-line. They built D-line. For Pittsburgh, just to kind of go back really quickly, they've had 6 second-round picks since Omar Khan started drafting in 2023, first or second-round picks, and 5 of them have been dedicated to the offensive line or the defensive line. So that has been Pittsburgh's clear and primary focus since Khan took over.
If we're talking about focus for a second, maybe this is won't sidetrack us here to talk about this. The talk after the playoff game, obviously, was that the $100 million defense had really let the Steelers down in that game, that they couldn't stop the run. And Patrick Queen says he was playing sick. He wasn't playing well, that's for sure, in the case. We've had to deal with the struggles with Patrick Queen here, too. But the $100 million defense got a big boost this year with 5 of the 7 draft picks there. The only two that Pittsburgh used on offensive players were Caleb Johnson at running back and then Will Howard as a probably not future starting quarterback. I guess who knows, but I'm thinking he'll be hoarding a clipboard for a lot of his pro career.
Well, I would also point out Pittsburgh's second round pick went to DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Seattle, gotcha, in that trade. Okay. So I think that's how they also kind of view if that's our big offensive splash there. And I'll take DK Metcalf over whatever that second round pick could have been. So, I think Pittsburgh felt that defense was getting older. The D-line is
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Especially wanted to reinforce that there are questions about not investing in the offense, but you look at the last couple of drafts, those were offensive heavy drafts. 2023 with Broderick Jones, that was, you know, first round pick they traded up for. Last year you go Troy Fautanu in the first round, Zach Frazier in the second round, Roman Wilson in the third round, Mason McCormick the guard in the fourth round. So a lot of heavy offensive investments there, so you kind of balance things out going defense this year.
Okay, and they certainly spent a lot of their cap dollars on Metcalf going forward, at least, even if this year it's a little lower.
Right.
All right. Wonderful. Let's talk about that fifth round pick, and this is one that I've seen certainly polarizing opinions on. Yaya Black, the defensive lineman for Iowa.
Yeah, this is one. I get the intent for Pittsburgh to really go all in on increasing their defensive line depth and trying to add some really good competition, so they're strong top to bottom. It's going to depend, I think, partially, Ken, on where they play him. They called him a D-end when they drafted him. The D-line coach said he can play up and down the line, Black can, but they see him more four-tech because of that length, those 35-inch arms. To me, when I watched the tape, the further he got out closer to tackle, the more space he had to play in, the worse the results were. He's not a terrible athlete, but just uncoordinated on the ground too much. And so, to me, the pass rush value is essentially nil. He's got a bit of a bull. That's about it. The run defense, when it's good, but it's really inconsistent. You have really up and down tape with his run defense. And he's 23, a 5-year guy at Iowa. I kind of wonder how much more can this guy grow and develop. So if they can make him more nose tackle, there might be something there. If they want to play more at the end, I think he'll have a tough time. I just didn't see a real high floor or high ceiling guy there that has his calling card as run defense, but even that has its own question marks.
Okay. I really liked him, by the way, just for what it's worth. He has almost a 6-to-1 stops to missed tackle ratio, which is quite good for a defensive lineman. They're usually in the 4-4.5 range. So I like that.
Yeah, when the reps are good, I mean, he will 2-gap, he can stuff the run. It's just, can he play in space? Can he play in zone schemes? Can he flow down the line? Can he stay on his feet? It just felt very up and down. If he was 21, then I'd sit there and say maybe there's some refinements somewhere for his scheme to go. I'm just not seeing it, but Pittsburgh trying to really add depth and competition.
All right. All right. Will Howard drafted at number 185 in the sixth round.
I know it's a sixth round pick, and those guys normally become nothing. And I am generally of the rule of thumb, Ken, that I'm go big or go home at quarterback, first round or bust. But to me, Howard was an exception. I was a big fan of Howard before the draft, before I even thought there was a chance Pittsburgh would take him. I think Pittsburgh got good value here. I see starter traits, not this year. He's, like you said, clipboard this year, 100% of Howard is playing. Something has gone terribly wrong in Pittsburgh, worse than they've already made their quarterback situation. It's not been ideal, but Howard playing would be even worse. But I see a guy that can play from within a pocket. And I know we get enamored, and there's certainly value in guys that can create and make plays out of structure, but still 80% of quarterback play is done in rhythm, on time, from within the pocket. I think Howard can play there. I know there were some issues early in the season. The Michigan game was bad, but you know, you transfer in. It's a new system, new scheme. There's going to be some bumps in the road. He had a great end of the season. Of course, the playoff run against Oregon, that fantastic game. He's got touch. He's got accuracy. There's enough mobility there. Yeah, he's more, I think, pro-ready than most quarterbacks who, I don't know if you saw the John Gruden quarterback camp clip of Jackson Dart. Their cadence was a clap, and their dummy count was two claps. I mean, that wasn't Howard. They had a cadence. They had an audible. They had checks. They had NFL concepts. And so I think that makes him a bit more pro ready. He's a really smart guy. He got recruited by every Ivy League school coming out of high school, Cornell, Princeton, Harvard. He had a 1300 SAT. And so he's a really smart guy. You see that apply to the classroom. So I know I'm talking up a lot about a six round quarterback that may, as you said, become nothing, but I think there's something there with Will Howard that I'm excited to watch and explore.
Okay. But there, as far as you can see, there wouldn't be any reason why it would change the Steelers' draft approach in 2026 to have Will Howard on the roster.
No, not at all. Assuming that Howard just sits the entire year and there's really no additional body of work outside of preseason and practice, they're not going to pass on a first-round guy if they love a first-round guy because of Will Howard. So I'm not saying that, but could he impress in the preseason? I think there'll be some positive moments there for Will Howard.
All right. All right. Well, let's move on. The seventh round, couple picks, 226 and 229. 226, Carson Bruner, the linebacker from Washington.
I said Jack Sawyer's a Steelers pick. This is a real Steelers pick. This is bloodlines, hearts, and smarts. They downplayed the Bruner angle. And for those who don't know, Carson Bruner's father is Mark Bruner, the former Steelers tight end and current area scout who lives in Washington, scouts. He's the West area scout. And so he literally scouts Carson. He was at his house. Mark Bruner was not in Pittsburgh for the draft. He went to be with his son, and so they were together. I think the story even went, they were sitting in the exact same spot in the same house where Mark got drafted 30 years ago. So it is just very a feel-good element of it. But Bruner's a good player in his own right. He was a really prolific special teamer before this year when he became a full-time starter for the Huskies. He's a downhill guy that gets off blocks, was a tackle machine, had over 100 tackles, and then ran 4.58 at the combine and had three picks. So there's a little bit in coverage as well. So he'll battle for a special team spot, fit inside linebacker spot. And there's some room there. Mark Robinson last year, his contract, Cole Holcomb was kept, but he hasn't played in a year and a half because of a really bad knee injury. So that's a guy that, you know, will have to carve out his path on special teams, but he's got a background doing it. It's going to make that transition pretty seamless, and we'll see if he sticks.
Who are you expecting to play the Will? I guess it's the Will next to Patrick Queen. I guess Patrick Queen has the mic role now, but who do you expect to be the Will?
Well, they've used a three-man rotation the last 2 years. Last year, it was Landon Robertson base next to Patrick Queen, and then Peyton Wilson would play a nickel. Roberts went to the Raiders. They signed former Raven Malik Harrison. I think Harrison will assume that Roberts role of playing in base, but the hope is Peyton Wilson can ascend, improve his run defense a little bit, and play in base and play in nickel next to Patrick Queen. So ideally it's Wilson and Queen, and then Queen playing in dime.
Wilson and Queen, and then Queen alone in a dime package with a safety there. That makes sense.
Correct.
Harrison has had significant tackling problems, and it's not been lost on the Ravens that, you know, the two guys with tackle problems now that are ex-Ravens are sitting in the middle of the Pittsburgh defense. But Deshaun Elliott is the caddy to both of them in terms of making a ton of tackles that they miss.
We're just trying to make this Baltimore 2.0, apparently, with every free agent, former Raven signing. Yeah, Harrison, I didn't love the tape. I know he was playing more because Trenton Simpson wasn't doing too well. But I think at the worst case with Harrison, a really high-end special teamer. I think he has 1,500 special team snaps since being drafted. That's like top five in the NFL. And so I think ideally for Pittsburgh, Wilson and Queen are the guys. Harrison is that experienced backup that can play on four or five phases, and then Bruner filters in as that number four, number five guy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just looking at Bruner's college record, it looks like he could very easily compete for playing time this year, but at the will spot, but maybe you don't think so, that's not realistic.
I don't rule anything out, but I think there'll have to be some injuries for that to occur. He's got to make the team first, beat out Mark Robinson, who's been a multi-phase special teamer, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. All right. And Dante Kent at number 229, the cornerback from Central Michigan. What's your feelings about him? Oh, he's all choked up. He's about to cry about the Dante Kent pick here. I can tell you, folks, it's sad to see. Take a moment, Alex. It's okay. This happens to me all the time on here.
I'm so sorry, Kent.
No, sorry.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Took a drink of water. Did not go down. I don't know how well the editing can be for this, but...
No. It won't edit at all.
Okay, good. Let me reset here. All right, Dante Kent, seventh round pick. I like to think that I know the draft pretty well, chapter and verse, but this is a guy, frankly, I was just not super aware of whenever Pittsburgh took him, but... He's a guy that can play inside, can play outside, was more of a slot guy the last 2 years at Central Michigan, was more an outside guy in 2022, I believe. So he's fast. He ran 4.38 at his pro day. He did some punt return work for Central Michigan this year. So they're going to lean on versatility, but probably a pretty uphill battle to make the roster.
Pretty damn good yards per target and quarterback rating against, by the way. So it's at Central Michigan. All things need to be considered. But that's a good place to start, especially for a seventh round pick, because all seventh round picks have some warts. So you just what you're working through.
Sure. I mean, he was a feast famine guy. There was a good graphic, I think, midway through this year where he was like number one in pass deflections and second worst in big plays allowed. So he's pretty aggressive with his eyes. He got burned for a long touchdown against Notre Dame. And so it's kind of like boom bust with Dante Kent, but tough path to make it. We'll see if he sticks.
Okay. All right. Well, outstanding stuff. Any other things about the overall nature of the draft? One thing I think a lot of Ravens fans are interested in is how much control does Mike Tomlin have over the draft within that room?
They always frame it, Pittsburgh does, as a Steelers decision, excuse me, between Mike Tomlin's GM, in this case Omar Khan, and Art Rooney II, the president. But I think it's certainly fair to say once Kevin Colbert stepped down after the 2022 NFL draft, that maybe Tomlin's power didn't grow, but I think his influence grew because Omar Khan does not have that hardcore football background. I don't want to discount his football acumen. He's been in Pittsburgh's building longer than Mike Tomlin, but Khan's background was primarily salary cap, administration, business side of things. And so I think it's probably fair to say that Tomlin has an even greater influence because Colbert was there before him and is for that nuts and bolts area scout, worked his way up the ladder kind of a background. So I think Tomlin's role has certainly grown.
All right. What's Tomlin's current contract status?
He just signed an extension last year. I think it's now signed through 2027. I want to say it was a $50 million contract. I think the third or fourth highest paid head coach in the NFL. So he's going to be here for the long haul, despite some Steeler fans wanting him gone. Art Rooney's not gonna fire him anytime soon and probably never in general.
Okay.
Also, right, if I could just say quickly, a nice undrafted free agent class, too, for Pittsburgh. Typically, their UDFAs are pretty poorly signed. Not a lot of guys who stick, not a lot of attractive candidates, but they signed some guys I like. Rock Taylor from Memphis, the receiver. J.J. Galbraith, the tight end, South Dakota, to me is an FCS sleeper, really athletic move tight end. Aiden Williams from D2, Minnesota Duluth, is a guy that play tackle, probably kick inside the guard, good size, athletic. So, you know, Pittsburgh did not abandon their principles. They never give partial base salary guarantees and good money to UDFAs. They just don't do that kind of a thing like most teams. It is still signing bonuses that are pretty meager. 30K is kind of their max, but they actually got a pretty good haul of names this year.
Okay. Yeah, the Ravens got a guy, a tight end from Minnesota Duluth too. So I was really, really happy with the Ravens for going back to a lot of small school selections from the UDFA guys. They realized that a lot of these guys wouldn't be drafted. DaCosta's, made his name in large part by scouting and finding a lot of small school players, Lardarius Webb, Brandon Williams, Matt Judon, others, when he was the number two guy. And now as the general manager, he made almost all Power Five picks, now Power Four picks. But he really went to a bunch of small school picks this time around, and could be some gems there.
Yeah, I will say Pittsburgh, when it comes to drafting, they almost never draft guys barely outside the Power Four, but certainly not below FBS. Their last, whatever it's worth, their last first-round pick that was not Power Five, Power Four, was Big Ben in 2004 from Miami, Ohio. So they typically like the pedigree guys at the top, but I did like seeing some of those small school guys come in from those low-risk UDFA contracts.
That's the last guy they drafted, period, any round or just in the first round?
Just in the first round. Even drafting FCS players, the last one I think they took off the top of my head, don't quote me, I may be missing a name, I want to say it's Javon Hargrave in 2016, 2017 from South Carolina
State. Pretty great pick.
Yeah, it was a very good pick, but yeah, they typically want to fish in those power conference waters.
Okay. All right. Always a pleasure talking ball with you, Alex, and a very detailed review here of the Steelers draft. Really appreciate you doing it. Where can folks talk football with you online?
Yeah, check us out, SteelersDepot.com. You can follow me at Alex_Kazora. We're running through the undrafted guys. Got rookie minicamp coming up, so excited for that. And appreciate you always having me on, Ken.
All right, Alex. Other folks out there, if you want to do a film study short, this is the time of year. Hit me up with your idea. Got a bunch of good ones in recently, but also have a lot of time to do shorts. The next big series will be the Expectations series, which comes up. Primarily, that starts in June and runs through about the middle of July. Alex, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.